Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster along with ace producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this rainy day. Going to get a little rainier. Wednesday, September 17th, 2014. The latest on one-time hurricane, now soon to be one-time tropical storm, Odile, downgrading very quickly over the mountains of northwest Mexico. But folks, it still has plenty of moisture by the time it moves into the Tucson area. We've been getting the outer fringes of this since about 8:30 this morning. Some of the heavier stuff expected early this afternoon. Today we're going to launch a new interview series presented by Pima Community College. During the coming months, you will be hearing from the presidents of all six Pima campuses. We begin today with Dr. Lou Albert, who has been at the helm of the West Campus, which is Pima's largest campus since 2003, and he is the longest-serving campus president at PCC. Dr. Albert joined Pima in 2003, following 5 years as vice chancellor for educational services at the San Jose Evergreen Community College District in Central California. He has a long and distinguished career in higher education, serving on boards both on a national and local level, including the Tucson Pima County Metropolitan Education Commission. Dr. Albert has been the past chair of that group. He's still on the commission, and he currently does chair the board of United Way of Tucson and Southern Arizona. Dr. Albert, how are you?
Very well. Good to be here, Bill.
Thank you so much for being with us. And I know that you have just come from an interview. Actually, it was part of the whole exit interview process that's been going on for 3 days. The Higher Learning Commission has been looking at Pima. Of course, Pima is on probation, with the goal for everybody associated with Pima to get off probation. How did the three-day visit go?
It's been a very intense 3 days, but I am very, very enthused about the interviews that I participated in, the reports that I've received. It's been a lot of hard work. Over 300 people at the college worked on the self-study that was submitted late July, and hundreds more participated on Monday and Tuesday. And while we won't know until the final report is issued later in the year, we are very enthusiastic that the college is on the right track and we will be getting off probation. So I just want to say thank you to all of the hundreds of community members and students, faculty and staff who participated in the site visit. There was a 9-member team who was here these last 2.5 days.
Folks really have rallied around the chancellor, Chancellor Lee Lambert, and the job he has done in turning Pima around. I get the sense there's a real feel, Lou Albert, the morale seems to be really improving.
I've had that same sense, and having watched the college go through some tough times in 2013, the level of participation alone in this accreditation process tells me that there's a new day at Pima and a new environment for work.
I'm excited about this series because I'm going to get a chance to talk about Pima and the six campuses that don't necessarily get a lot of publicity, but each campus has kind of, I guess, their signature programs. And I want to talk a little bit about your signature programs, and you're doing some really innovative things over there. One of the programs, Pima is one of only six community colleges in the United States receiving what are called STEM students, and that, of course, has to do with science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. I guess you've got 50 college students from Mexico on your campus?
We do, from three different Mexican universities. This is part of the United States government's commission to commitment to what's called the 100,000 Strong for the Americas exchange program. The goal is to get students from Mexico and Central and South America to the United States to study abroad, and the same with students from the United States to go in those directions. And those students came Labor Day weekend. They're here from three different Mexican universities. They're pretty much traditional age students, 20, 21 years of age. All of them are science technology majors, and it's been a real labor of love. There's a team of about half a dozen people working to make this a success. But the students are here. They're in class, and they're participating in co-curricular activities. That is a part of the fact that the West Campus is the home of the college's International Programs and Services Center. So these 50 students are part of about 180 students in total from multiple nations, but they're here on this special funded program.
Signature programs involve science and some of your healthcare programs. You actually have a dental clinic. I don't think many people realize that Pima has a dental clinic with 13 chairs, soon to be 23 chairs. So folks can that are involved with the dental sciences can really get real life experience.
Right. We have three dental education programs, one that educates dental hygienists, one that educates dental assistants, and one that educates dental laboratory technicians. But the hygienists and the dental assisting students get real-life experience with patients that many of them recruit. All of the services are, of course, overseen by dentists who serve as adjunct faculty in the clinic setting, but they do get real-life experience as well as experience in the private practice setting or in addition to the clinic on campus.
The arts are very important to the West Campus because really the Center for the Arts for Pima is there. That's where it is anchored, right there.
It's one of the pleasures of the work that I do, Bill. The Center for the Arts has both the performing arts and the visual arts. We have in the visual arts arena the Luis Carlos Bernal Gallery, who was sort of the father of our photography program at the West Campus. In the Center for the Arts performing venues, the Black Box Theater, the Proscenium Theater, and the Recital Hall. There's an event going on almost every week. We're very excited about our theater season coming up. It opens next week with Stuart Little, a children's play. And in the spring, we're going to do Spamalot, a Monty Python play. So we're very excited about that. And it brings thousands of people from the community to these various venues throughout the year.
For folks who have not been to the Center for the Arts, tell me a little bit about the venue.
Well, the main venue in terms of the performing arts is
performing
our 420-seat proscenium theater. It's got a full-size proscenium stage. I've seen dance troupes of as many as 50 dancers in performance there. We have a shop in the back of the proscenium where the sets are built. Last spring, I even got to act in Fiddler on the Roof.
That's was a little bonus for the job for the campus president. Gets involved with acting.
I and Tony Penn, the president of the United Way, were villagers from the village of Anatekva in the closing scene of the play.
So you got all made up and wore costumes and had
costumes and hats. Yes.
There's another program that I want to mention that folks may not realize that archaeology is very important. Just try getting a permit for a building these days. You've got to really have a lot of pre-work done in the archaeology field.
Right. The program we have in both archaeology and anthropology is both a transfer program and a program that prepares students for work in the field if that's what they choose to do. And so it's been around for about 35 years, and it is a program in which the students get hands-on experience doing these historical site surveys. We even from time to time get contracts from developers who ask our students to go out and do the survey. We are also the home of a state-approved repository, so all of the findings that the students have in the field are recorded and kept in perpetuity in the repository.
Your enrollment's at 10,000 students. Does that feel about right to you?
It's been higher. As you've probably heard, Pima's enrollments have declined, as have enrollments at many community colleges. The economy improves. But I think that enrollment, as Tucson grows and as new opportunities for training are developed, that enrollment will be larger than 10,000 in a couple of years.
We're speaking with the Pima West Campus President, Lou Albert. We're talking about some of the programs offered over at PCC. It's also very important to talk about the students that perhaps 2 years may be all they need, but a lot of them want to go on to a four-year school.
Well, and that's where all community colleges play a vital role. The accessibility, the local accessibility, the lower cost enables those students who want to move on to the baccalaureate degree and beyond to do their first 2 years at a community college to both save money and to get the equivalent of those first 2 years of university study. I don't remember the exact numbers, but I believe this year we have about 1,200 students who've transferred to the U of A. But they not only transfer there, they transfer to the other state universities, even to the University of Phoenix, which is one of our larger receiving schools.
How do we get more kids interested in science? We began the interview talking about the STEM program and some of the foreign students there, but how do we get our own Southern Arizona kids interested in it?
Well, that's probably another one of our signatures. We have a very large science and technology enterprise at the West Campus, biology, chemistry, physics, microbiology, and large enrollments, partly because these are students who are also interested in the health careers. But we also have a very large federal grant that is aimed at not just the STEM career at the associate degree level, but at transfer to the university. It's $4.3 million, and its major focus is to prepare students to both be successful at the community college and then move on to study at the baccalaureate level or beyond in the university. And it's been a very successful project. We are constantly working to spread the word about STEM careers, but those enrollments are very robust.
You have your BS in biology.
I do.
Started off in biology, and then you have a Master of Science degree in zoology, then a PhD in higher education administration. So actually, your foundation comes from science, and I'm just curious, Dr. Lou Albert, was there something in your childhood that triggered that particular interest in science?
Actually, this is a story of a great college teacher. I was in a pre-med program, and in my junior year at Loyola College of Maryland, I had a faculty member who taught me comparative anatomy, and I left that course thinking, I want to be like him. It wasn't to my family's satisfaction, but I decided to go to grad school and prepare to be a professor of physiology, and I have no regrets. I'm really glad I chose that route and got me into the work that I'm doing today. I still think of myself as a teacher.
So the mentor turned out, in so many cases, to be a real critical part of your future.
That's the case, and mm-hmm. I see that all the time in the work that I currently do.
Mm-hmm. In the remaining minute or so, what would you like to see? People talk a lot about job creation, and I know that is one of the focuses with the Metropolitan Education Commission. What do you think needs to be done to make this area more of a job creator, Dr. Albert?
Well, I think that there are multiple opportunities ahead for more creative partnerships between Pima Community College and the business and industry sector. In too many cases in the past, community colleges have sort of seen themselves as the experts. But under Lee Lambert's leadership, and a lot of us are buying into the benefits of new partnerships, that's what all of us are working hard to create, Bill.
All right. For more information about Pima Community College, the main website, pima.edu. But for folks who are interested, Lou, in the Center for the Arts this season, and I've got this very nice, handsome brochure right in front of me, and they can find out probably the same information at pima.edu/CFA. Would that be the best way?
That's the best way to get information quickly about this upcoming performance season.
Enjoyed visiting with you. Thanks a lot.
Likewise. Thank you.
All right. Be right back.
Here in Tucson, we love our beautiful mountain views,
but large windows and sliding glass doors are huge energy zappers.
At American Openings, we build our doors just like our energy-saving windows to keep the heat where it belongs, on the outside. No matter the style, American Openings will create your doors right here in Tucson at a fraction of our competitors' costs. And although the price is less, our quality is excellent. Call today and enjoy our beautiful views year-round without losing your cool.
Call 664-1202 or visit AmericanOpenings.com.
This is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Whether you shower, clean, or drink it, you will come in contact with water every day. So the question is, how often do you think about what's in your water, and how is your water affecting you and your loved ones? The fact is, there are likely contaminants in your water that will have an effect on the taste and smell of the water, not to mention why water is chlorinated. The good news is that Culligan has a solution. The Culligan AC30 Reverse Osmosis Drinking Water System is the powerful solution for filtering out impurities that affect your water. This state-of-the-art solution reduces chlorine and other contaminants that affect the taste and smell of your water. Of course, some contaminants may not be in your water. Why not take your drinking water to the next level with a Culligan drinking water system for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months' service on an annual rental agreement? Call 792-9700 for details. That's 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Get Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 per month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get your first month free. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 1/4/15. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 1222. Just took a look at some of the radar, and the bulk of that moisture now really is below, now just below the international border. So it is heading our way. We continue now with our candidate interview series, spotlighting today Arizona State Representative Stephanie Mock. Stephanie is seeking a third two-year term in the Arizona House of Representatives as a Democrat from Tucson's LD-10, where there are four candidates, two Dems and two Republicans, seeking two seats in the House. Stephanie, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on the program.
Just a correction. I'm seeking my second term.
Second term. I'm sorry. I just gave you another 2 years there.
I know. I still need those 2 years.
Yeah. Well, time really flies, doesn't it? Anyway, what do you see? Is jobs the number one issue as far as you're concerned?
Absolutely. Jobs, the economy, and how that relates to education really is the number one thing I keep on hearing at the doors and on the phones and talking to everyone in the community.
What do we do to get more high-paying jobs? I think that's the big question.
Yeah, I think that there's a couple different ways we have to attack the problem, but one is definitely reinvesting in education. I think adult education, making sure that people can get certifications, that they have the ability to not be strapped with debt as they go into the university and higher education. So that's the number one thing that I'm going to try to do, but also really encouraging things like small business growth, making sure that people have access to microloans or just loans in general, having access to potentially an angel investment fund or an R&D tax credit. Those are some of the ideas that I think that would stimulate our economy.
As a freshman lawmaker, how did you find the experience up in Phoenix, Stephanie?
Oh, it was a whirlwind. I mean, there's a lot of things that go on at the Capitol that are just intriguing. You know, I learned a lot in my first term, but what I did learn is that we have the potential to change it for the better. Everyone seems to think that we're stuck in this rut, that we can't solve problems together. We've had several bipartisan successes. It's not enough, but we have been able to be successful as we go forward. And I have been really listening to people and saying, listen, just get something done for us. And I think that really comes down to, let's just put our own feelings aside and let's start really, you know, working together. And that's what I've done. I've been successful. I had a bill pass, and I've had other things that I've pushed and have gotten into the budget. So I feel very happy to go forward and even be more successful.
You're the first member of your family to get a bachelor's degree and then go on to a higher degree, a master's, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So you obviously understand the value of a higher education.
Yes, I'm really proud of the fact that I've been able to forge that path for my family. Since then, I've had several other members go into college, but I do understand the difference in opportunities that I faced compared to other people in my family who haven't. And I think the same could be said for our community. I think that if we allow or provide the opportunities for people just to get an education, to move forward, to really be able to sustain themselves and their family afterwards, that is an immeasurable contribution to our society, and I hope that we can go forward and really reinvest in that. And the return on investment is huge.
Can you take a quick question from one of our listeners, Stephanie?
Absolutely, I'd love to.
Matt is with us. Go ahead, Matt, on the live line.
Yeah, quickly, too, I just wanted to recognize Stephanie in the newspaper. They acknowledged that you were an AmeriCorps participant and that you had also been recognized by AmeriCorps for your contributions, and I congratulate you on that, and hope you talk about it.
Thank you.
I saw the President Obama and President Clinton discussing the anniversary of AmeriCorps and urging Congress to extend it. I'm sure you want to talk about that. Also, could you, I want to let people know that, while the news about Phoenix, USPS putting out the Tucson's mail processing center is scheduled for closure in April of 2015, the truth is they're putting that out against the will of the Senate, which signed 52 members of the Senate signed a letter saying that those targeted closures, of which we are one of the 82, Tucson should not be closed.
Okay.
And urge everybody to let Congress know that facility in Tucson should not be closed. Thank you.
All right. AmeriCorps recognition, congratulations there via Matt.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. Yeah, I was one of 20 people selected in the country from about a million alumni. So I'm very proud of the contributions I've made. You know, I think that the pledge that I took in 2002 was, to serve this year and beyond. And faced with apathy, I will persevere and I will take action. So I've done that since then. Every year, and I hope to continue doing it this next term. Very proud of that recognition. Also, with the mail facility, I'm a lot concerned about that, actually, because I think that this has major implications for a lot of our communication down here in Tucson. We are a significantly sized city, and I think that we deserve to have, a mail facility. I think it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, I think we may be the largest, if not one of the largest cities, certainly in the United States, now that we'll not have a mail processing facility. I think it's ridiculous myself, but anyway.
Absolutely.
Quickly here, I've only got about a minute left, Stephanie Mock. The budget situation, some are saying it could be quite grim in the new year. What do you think?
Well, I think that we're going to be faced with a lot of hard decisions, and we're going to have to take a variety of approaches to make sure that we address it. It's about $320 million in this next year, and between $1 billion and $1.5 billion in the next several years afterwards. So we're really going to have to make some difficult decisions about what we face in the state and how we need to reinvest in our education system. So I appreciate it.
Okay, Stephanie Mock, where can people find out more about your candidacy?
They can go to my website. It's stephaniemock.com, and that's S-T-E-F-A-N-I-E, Mock, M-A-C-H.com. And I'd love to hear from everyone, and I answer everything personally for questions.
Okay, Stephanie Mock, thank you very much. Running in Tucson's LD-10 and seeking a second two-year term in the Arizona House of Representatives. Stephanie, stay dry. Have a great afternoon.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Be right back.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Everyone is invited to tour Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson during its all-day 10th anniversary celebration Saturday, October 4th. There will be something for everyone, including live action in the surgery department and doctor dress-up for the kids. Plus, your tour pass doubles as a raffle ticket with a chance to win great prizes. Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson at North La Cañada Drive and West River Road, home of Specialty Vets for Special Pets. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust.
That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Once a month here on the Buckmaster Show, we focus on animal care issues. The segment is about specialty animal care, presented by Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson, an award-winning facility, open 24/7 and recognized as the best place to bring your sick or injured pet, located at North La Cañada Drive and West River Road, and on the web at vscot.com. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson, specialty vets for a special pets. And joining us on this month's animal care segment, Dr. Dimitri Brown, emergency veterinarian at the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson. Dr. Brown, how are you today?
I'm doing great, thanks. How about you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for being with us. I want to talk about something that's very important to all animal owners to be aware of, and that is parvo. What is parvo, and what animals are affected, which of our pets are affected by it?
So parvo is a highly contagious and often fatal virus that attacks rapidly dividing cells in dogs, and it's specific to dogs. And it attacks cells primarily in their gastrointestinal tract, meaning their stomach and intestines, as well as in their immune system. And so the things that we see in our pets are gastrointestinal signs, and so we'll see really profuse vomiting. We'll see diarrhea, oftentimes bloody diarrhea, that has a very specific foul odor. And we'll see anorexia, they don't want to eat. And then on the other side of things, we also see their immune system being suppressed. And so that's a problem in and of itself, because it leaves them very susceptible to secondary infections. But it's an even larger problem when we have the lining of the gastrointestinal tract that's been disrupted. And so it's very possible for what's normal bacterial flora that's normally in the intestine to then get into the bloodstream and cause systemic infection and even sepsis.
Dr. Brown, how common is parvo, and how is the virus? I assume it is a virus spread.
It is, yeah. So we're seeing a lot of it this summer, and it's hard to get exact numbers on how commonly it's seen in Tucson, but I would say that this summer we're definitely seeing more than we have in previous summers.
And the spreading of it, how is that? Is it dog to dog, or how does that work?
Yeah, so it can be carried by dogs, and it can also be carried by coyotes, and it's shed in the fecal material, both from dogs and coyotes, and then dogs contract it when they somehow ingest fecal material, and so it doesn't have to be directly that they're eating feces. More commonly, it's soil that gets contaminated with fecal material. The soil gets into their fur, and then they're, you know, grooming or something like that, and they end up inadvertently injecting that fecal material and getting infected.
It must be a horrible thing for the animal to have to go through this. So, of course, prevention is something that we will try, and I'm sure that pet owners would like to know more about. What is the best way to prevent the dog from getting parvo?
So vaccination is definitely the key in avoiding parvo. And when we talk about vaccination, it's not just a one-time vaccine that they need. They need to get vaccinated when they're 6 weeks old, 9 weeks old, 12 weeks old. And then depending on the breed and kind of the risk for that particular pet, your veterinarian may recommend a vaccine at 16 weeks of age as well. And the vaccines are not all the same. And so sometimes people, when they come in, will talk about vaccines that were given by breeders or vaccines that people have given themselves that they've gotten from feed stores or from pharmacies. And it's important to realize that if the vaccine isn't stored at the appropriate temperature, then it's the same as just giving saline. And it's not effective. And so the best way to make sure that the vaccines that are being given are being stored properly is to have them administered by a veterinarian who can ensure that the vaccine has been handled appropriately through the entire shipping phase and the storage phase as well.
Veterinarian Dr. Dimitri Brown is with us from the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson. You know, we're talking about vaccines. Are they expensive? Is this something that the owner, the pet owner, should worry about cost, or how does that work?
So that's a good question. The vaccines generally are pretty inexpensive, and the real value in them is not only in avoiding the disease, but if the vaccines are given by a veterinarian, certain companies will actually guarantee the efficacy of the vaccine. And if for some reason, you know, a pet develops parvo, even though they are fully vaccinated, those vaccine companies will actually pay for the treatment for those pets.
Hmm. What about previous parvo vaccinations? You said they needed to be renewed. It needs to be a booster, or what's the thinking on that?
Yeah, so after their initial series is puppies, they need to get boosted again at 1 year of age, and then every year or every 3 years, depending on kind of the risk for that particular pet after that.
How about when, if the dog had parvo previously, is there some kind of protocol that the surrounding area needs to be cleaned up to prevent perhaps other dogs in the family from getting it?
Yeah, so that's a really important concept. When dogs heal from parvo and make it through, they can still shed the virus in their fecal material for up to 3 weeks after they've recovered. And the virus itself is incredibly hardy. It can last in the environment from months to even years, even here in Tucson, where we have a fairly harsh environment. And so cleanup is important both in the yard and in the house. And there's two options, really, for decontamination. One is to use a 1 to 30 bleach to water solution and make sure that you have a contact time of at least 10 minutes. Obviously, that's not always practical, especially with bedding and couches and carpet and things in the house. And so the other option is to use steam cleaning to kill that virus.
If someone is in the market for a companion animal, how do they know that the animal hasn't, one, had parvo, or perhaps is contagious for parvo at the time?
So there's no way of making sure. Parvo has an incubation period of generally 4 to 14 days from the time that the pet gets exposed to the virus until they start to show clinical signs. And so even under the best circumstances, you can never be guaranteed that a pet isn't going to have parvo. But the best route to go is if you start to see any clinical signs of anorexia, vomiting, diarrhea, then you know, go to a veterinarian, and there's a very quick test that can be done. They get a fecal sample, and it's called a SNAP test. It takes about 10 minutes to run and has pretty good accuracy in gauging if that pet has parvo or not.
What are the chances of making sure the pet doesn't succumb to this disease?
So when we treat, we have pretty good success rate. I would say we have about a 90 to 95% success rate here at Veterinary Specialty Center. When we get to hospitalize these patients, if we treat on an outpatient basis, then we aren't quite as successful.
The initial protocol is what? To stop the bloody diarrhea, or what is the initial game plan with the parvo?
So the initial focus is really on three things. One is replacing fluids, because as you can imagine, these pets are losing a tremendous amount of fluid with the vomiting and having diarrhea. And with vomiting that frequently, it's really hard for them to keep any water down. And so IV fluids are ideal to correct that fluid loss and make up for any ongoing fluid loss. Antibiotics are important because the immune system is being suppressed, and so we try and treat them to avoid secondary infection. And then the last thing is to give medication to try and minimize that vomiting and try and stop the ongoing fluid loss.
Dr. Brown, I'm a little curious about the origins of parvo. Do we know where this came from?
So we know it came from another virus that mutated, and really the first time that we started to see it was sometime in the late 1970s, and it kind of started as a pandemic. We went from seeing almost no parvo to seeing a tremendous number of these cases because it's so contagious.
Is it similar to anything that we had seen before the 70s, Dr. Brown?
You know, that's a good question. I don't really know the answer to that.
I just wondered because sometimes these things, this is actually in the chronological, that's not that long ago, is it, that the 70s,
no.
that this came on the scene. But the vaccine seems, from what you're saying, to be pretty darn effective.
So it is pretty effective. But the thing that's concerning is we're actually starting to see some breakthrough cases of parvo. And it's particularly concerning because, as you brought up, it's not a very old disease that we're treating. But starting around 2006, we started to see some cases of dogs that were fully vaccinated developing parvo. And I would say this summer I've seen more of those cases than I ever have previously.
Well, that's troubling that there are those breakthrough cases. Let's hope that doesn't become a trend. And again, folks perhaps have seen these over-the-counter parvo treatments at the store. Would you say to avoid those?
So, you know, I don't think they're going to be anywhere near as effective as true veterinary care. And there's so many things that these puppies can need in terms of their care. A lot of times we have to give them medication to maintain their blood pressure. We have to give them special fluids to replace the proteins that they're losing in their diarrhea. We have to make sure their electrolytes don't get out of balance. Sometimes they need pain control medication. And so the over-the-counter can help with trying to keep them hydrated and to some extent may help a little bit with the electrolytes. But for most of these cases, it's just not enough.
All right. Dr. Dimitri Brown, emergency veterinarian at Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson, thank you for spending some time with us, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The segment sponsored by Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson, an award-winning facility. They're open 24/7. That's good to know because you never know when you might need them. They are recognized as the best place to bring your sick or injured pet. Their location is North La Cañada Drive and West River Road. They're on the web at vscot.com. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson, specialty vets for special pets.
Hi, Dr. Kevin Lehman for 5-Star Termite and Pest Control. You know, we've had the same technician at our house for 11 years, and he's wonderful. But you know what? What does that tell you about the company? It tells you it's a great company who treats their people right. And they treat us customers great. I wouldn't use anybody. Truly, truly, listen to me. But 5-Star Termite and Pest Control.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscot.com. That's vscot.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Tucson Desert Art Museum. Tucson's newest art museum is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tanque Verde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. They have a big event coming up. The 10th annual Gila River Festival is September 18th through the 21st, and that is this weekend to celebrate the United States' first wilderness river. And around Tucson, we may be having some rivers right here that will be running very shortly. Consider the arts and recreation-oriented historic community of Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. And the weather over there should be, the rain should have pushed through, so it will be an absolutely beautiful weekend. Mild days, cool nights. Find out more about Silver City in Grant County at southwestnewmexico.org and the great places to stay like Spirit Canyon Lodge. Let's welcome now Tom Collier, the Buckmaster Show contributor on consumer affairs. And I was so worried about the storm this morning that I actually arrived a couple of hours early for today's show, thinking, well, I was thinking about Mondays.
Traumatized 2 weeks ago.
I was. I was traumatized by
it. It was a good show. I listened to it. Came across. I mean, people.
Had to do the show from the Buckmaster studio in the central foothills because, well, it was hard to get out. River Road, there was a big old tree stump.
Well, if you've been around long enough to remember Dead Man's Curve, how it used to fill up with sand, you know.
Yeah, I mean, so I guess the roofers are really getting ready for a big, big couple of weeks.
Already.
Yeah.
Already. They're starting to get calls. And so if you have a problem with roofing, there are a couple of precautions that you need to take. You need to make sure that you do your research first. Now, of course, this is a situation where they're kind of in a position where they can call the shots. If you have a major leak, you're going to have to, you know, be in a position where you can actually begin to negotiate. You're going to have to wait for a little bit. But roofers in Arizona are among the trades that are regulated and licensed by the Arizona Registrar of Contractors. We haven't heard a lot about the registrar recently. They've kind of kept their light under a bushel, particularly after the legislature raided the Contractors Recovery Fund to help balance the budget a couple of years ago.
They do fly under the radar screen.
Oh, yeah. The Registrar of Contractors, and they have an office here in Tucson, licenses people in the trades. We're talking about plumbers, electricians, roofers, and we don't need to go any farther than that right now. But if you're talking about hiring a roofer, make sure that you hire someone who is licensed by the Arizona Registrar of Contractors. You can check online. It's azroc.gov, Arizona Registrar of Contractors.gov. And the reason you want to use a licensed contractor is that you have certain consumer protections that you don't have if the contractor is unlicensed. The Contractor's Recovery Fund is paid into by these people as they get their licenses, and their fee goes to cover opportunities that consumers have in Arizona. If a contractor goes south, doesn't do the job properly, or goes out of business and doesn't do the job properly and leaves a lot of customers hanging, there is the opportunity not to be made whole, but to at least to recover a portion of the money that you paid out. So you want to make sure that you use a registered contractor. If you don't use a licensed contractor, licensed by the Arizona Registrar of Contractors, then those protections are not available to you, and sometimes the courts are not too sympathetic because you decided that you weren't going to use someone who offered you this level of consumer protection. So if you have to use a roofer or you have any reasons where you have rain damage or something like that, then certainly use people who offer you that level of consumer protection.
If you have a major leak, what do you do? I mean, that's a big issue.
Well, if you have a major leak, you're going to have to try to minimize the damage, first of all. Mm-hmm. Plastic and tarps and umbrellas and things like that. I mean, every retail store I've been in this morning has a stand of umbrellas at the front door. Yeah. And of course, they're all priced at $7 to $10 now. And 3 weeks ago, you could have bought them for, $2 to $3. But that's the way retailing is right now. So, use the Register of Contractors for any of these projects, particularly if it's an emergency one. Make sure that you are dealing with a licensed contractor. It's a protection that is unique to Arizona, and if you forego it, quite frankly, you're just being foolish. You're being penny wise and pound foolish.
Tom Collier is with us talking consumer issues. Tom is our consumer contributor. We have more than 24 contributors on the BuckmasterShow.com website. You can learn all about them. Cautious when job hunting. A lot of people are looking for new jobs, and they should use caution.
Well, I thought it was interesting when you had the candidate on who was talking about, the number one priority would be creating jobs in Arizona, because there are a lot of people who are looking for jobs. Just recently, one of the television stations had the sad, sad story of an individual who thought that she had a job and was really excited about it, and she got caught up into one of those scams where they send you a fake check and you cash it, and then you deposit a portion of it in your account, and you're supposed to take the majority of it and wire it as cash, like with a Western Union MoneyGram to an address. And of course the check bounces, and because you deposited it, you are on the hook to the bank for the entire amount of the check. I don't really know what it was. I would say if you apply for an ad, this was on Craigslist. Mm-hmm. If you apply to an ad that is on Craigslist or on sometimes even on some of the legitimate job hunting boards, and there is a requirement that you provide money, I would let that raise a lot of caution flags in my head. If you're applying for a job where you're going to be selling a product like cosmetics or cleaning supplies or something like that, there could be a legitimate requirement that you buy a starter kit or a sample kit. I would suspect that if that sample kit is much more than $100, that you're probably being scammed. Mm-hmm. So once again, opportunity for the caution flag to raise in the back of your head. But there is now a new thing which is popping up in mostly in Craigslist ads that is called resume harvesting. Hmm. And what resume harvesting is it's a third party or sometimes even a fourth or fifth party that's interceded and interposed itself in the what you and I think of the normal progression in looking for a job. Company has an opening, company advertises for it, people apply, company screens those, gets down to the ones that they want to interview, they interview three or four of them, they hire one of them, job is filled. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily anymore. What resume harvesting companies do is they post an ad which you have to read very carefully. There is not an existing job behind that ad. What they're doing is saying, in case and there is an opening, we would like to have your resume
on
so that
file.
You can be on file and pre-screened and pre-cleared.
Mm.
People need to understand that when they apply and supply the information to those, they are not applying for a job. Mm-hmm. They're simply giving their resume to a company that allegedly, supposedly is going to keep it on file. The one example that I can call that people can go on Craigslist and look and see is under the government listings. The U.S. Passport Center here in Tucson uses a lot of doesn't do direct hiring. First of all, they're a contractor with the Department of State, but they have an ad consistently from this company that says, if any jobs open up, here's an opportunity to pre-screen, so send us your resume. And you're not applying for a job, you're simply putting your toe in the water and putting your resume in this big pool. There's no acknowledgement afterwards. There's no, of course, and that's pretty much endemic with job applications
nowadays.
Do you
have to pay a fee to get into the pool?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Not that I know
so
of on that particular instance.
So what's the advantage really to put them?
Well, the thing you need to be aware of is that some of these companies, some of these resume harvesters may use the information that you provide, if not illegitimately, then at least unethically.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you never want to put information like your social security number or information that could be used to leverage an identity theft opportunity against you on a resume. it's kind of a dilemma. They say in the ads that they want you to give them your information and three references and that. But if they don't identify themselves and who they are, you want to make sure that you're being very cautious. Some of these people may just be harvesting resumes so they can compile a mailing list. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get on the list for, any number of items, things that people are trying to sell, or on an email list where you can be hit with spam over and over and over again. You just really need to be really cautious. And if it's a genuine resume harvester, mm-hmm. you want to use a little bit of caution to decide whether or not, if they're not willing to identify who they are, then I wouldn't apply for it.
All right, Tom, we're going to let you go, Tom, so you can get over to
Swim on over, right.
Pass to get your sandbags ready to sandbag the creek by your house. See if it's running. We can all find out soon.
Put the dog to work. Put the dog to work, dragging those up to the shore.
Thank you, Tom. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan, thank you for your support of our show. Thanks for all your support, and folks can get Culligan Water for your business and residential water needs. They do a great job. Okay, the local talk continues. We'll have updates on the storm coming up at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Mike Shaw for Tucson at 4. Then, of course, tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe and Christy Simone, 8 to 9 with the Daily Double. And then hopefully, Rosemary Brandt, producer, and me, Bill Buckmaster, will be with you in studio here tomorrow for the Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Try to stay dry, and please be safe out there.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.